Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. With Jared Stillman on Nashville's Best Sports Talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. The company is here. Caroline Fenton, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Max Herz in for Ian. Max, how are you?
Hello.
So, I think we should start. Twitter is mad at me.
That is something that has never happened before. This is new.
I'm so hurt. I've never felt what it's like to have Twitter mad at me.
Wow. Well,
I've never experienced that. I've never had Jason Whitlock breaking down my tweets I have. So Twitter being mad at me is nothing new. Let me say this. So today, Twitter's all worked up. And I shouldn't say worked up. I think Twitter is like, what, 8% of America? But Twitter today, Preds Twitter. I got told one time not to call Preds Twitter a cesspool, so I'm going to not call Preds Twitter a cesspool today. But Preds Twitter, all worked up, all excited, because apparently in the David Poile press conference, according to Twitter, David Poile dunked on me. Now, let me say this. I asked the question, and I heard his response. I didn't interpret it the same way everybody else did, but for everybody out there, as we know, I've been very vocal at how irresponsible I thought it was to put Tanner Jeannot on the Predators protection list and expose Cali Yarncroke, a useful two-way, versatile player that's won them a lot of games, as opposed to Jeannot in his 15 games of NHL experience. I thought that that was irresponsible. And the Predators did it anyway. So David Poile has a press conference today. First time you can ask him about the expansion draft. And I got the first question. Here's what I asked. And here's what he said. Take a listen.
Can you take us through why you would protect Jeannot over a guy like Yarncroke, who has contributed so much for so long, or a guy like Sissons, obviously? And how is the relationship with Sissons after not being protected?
Again, all due respect, you don't know as much as I know in terms of what I truly believed and knew was going to happen in this expansion draft. From talking to Seattle, I think our younger players, you mentioned Jeannot's name, which is a good name. Another name is Carrier, as a young defenseman. Both of these players came from Milwaukee. Both of these players were not particularly ticketed to play a lot of games for us this year. And both of those players played very important parts in our team as the year, especially in the second half of the season, where, you know, Carrier played with Josi in the top pairing. Jeannot, Sissons, Trent, and Olivier formed what we call called our identity line, herd line, if you will. They were our fourth line. But I think everybody who was watching this closely saw that they played in a lot more valuable situations in our third line. And I think they're a big part of what we have going forward.
Okay, right there. So I understand the idea that he values that fourth line, which we'll discuss. But the part there at the beginning, with all due respect, I know more than you. Twitter has exploded over that. Now, I did not take that as a shot personally when he said that. But am I misreading it? What do you think? Do you think that David Poile was launching a crack at me with that answer? Do you think, what do you make of that question? Because I feel like my response doesn't really change much based upon that, but maybe I should be worked up about that.
Well, it was a question that needed to be asked, because in reading articles in The Athletic, ESPN.com, articles throughout the hockey world, whenever mentioning that the Predators protected Tanner Jeannot, everyone always said, oh, this was a surprising protection pick. Sure. This was something that we didn't expect from the Predators. So, of course, you have to ask, if this was not what we expected, why did you do it? What was your thought process? I think that was a question that meant to be asked. Now, with David Poile saying, with all due respect, I know more than you do. First of all, I hope so. I hope that David Boyle knows more about
the
Predators.
And I would agree with that.
Than you do.
But I'm wondering, how I feel about his intention. Like, yeah, do you think it was like a personal, like, Jared, you've been on my rear end for forever, so now let me try to shoot you down a little bit? Or do you think it was the, hey, I know that Seattle would have taken Janot, and I know that this, and I know, like, do you think it's that, or do you think it is, like, the personal in nature, I'm better than you shot?
I don't think it was a shot. I don't think it is something that he would have said to anyone else. But I don't think that it was a shot towards you. I don't think that was his way of saying, hey, look, Jared, I've heard what you've been saying about this team, and I'm going to be mad at you, and I'm going to embarrass you. I don't think that was his intention at all. I think that he would only address you like that and, like, interpret that how you will. But personally, I don't think it was anything negative toward you. But I think it was a, hey, I'm the general manager. I know what I know.
Max, what do you think?
No, I think it was just saying that he knew what Seattle was going to do if they didn't protect Janot, and that meant that they were probably going to take Janot. I think that's what he was saying.
So I kind of feel the same way. So, like, when Twitter's all worked up about, yeah, David Poyle, you're the man, I didn't read into that as, like, a personal shot. Now, when John Hines takes out his piece of paper and starts reading verbatim on the day of Game 6, that I took as
a
personal shot.
Personal.
Which, the more I thought about it, the more embarrassed I am that the head coach of an NHL team on the day of Game 6 is writing out notes for how to respond to a question that I'm going to ask, which he knew I was going to ask. Like, that I think about, and I'm like, maybe prepare for coaching? Maybe a little bit more, like, but that's neither here nor there. I didn't take Poyle's answer as a personal shot. You know, when I heard it, I didn't think of anything. And then Joe Rexroth tweeted it, and then all of a sudden I just started getting all these tweets, and they're like, yeah, you tell him, David, you're the man. And I think what's funny is, aren't we allowed to be a little critical? Like, to the fans. Like, I get it. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But obviously enough people enjoy it because they listen every day, because our show is incredibly popular. Like, so I don't... Clearly, they listen because he's clearly under his skin. But I listen to this and I think to myself, the fans are missing the boat on this. David Poyle just told you he values the contributions of the fourth line last year over the contributions of the third line. What? He takes that identity line. And I've told you before the playoffs, that line's not going to win you a game. Yakov Trenin had 2 goals in Game 5 at Carolina, and you lost. That line was excellent in that Game 5, and you still lost. When you won your games, you were winning because of Matt Duchene scoring in overtime. You were winning because of Ryan Johansson. Like, when you win, that's why you win. You score because of Forsberg. You win because of Yossi. You win because of those guys. You're not going to win because of your fourth line. You might win a game here or there because of your fourth line. Just like when the Predators went to the Cup Final and they got a game winner from Cody McLeod and a goal from Harry Zolnarchuk and a game winner from Pontus Aberg. But you're not going to end up winning the Cup doing that. You're never going to do that. So, like, if I'm a fan and I view the media's job, this is why I ask questions at press conferences. I view the media's job as holding those in power accountable. That's what the First Amendment is for. And I believe, in looking at how I think you guys feel, you the fans, and going into these press conferences and asking David these questions. Max brought it up before we came on air. You got people asking questions about the amateur draft that deep down inside, I'm not sure that many fans care about as compared to whether or not you're going to keep Cali Yarncroke over Tanner Janot. Like, I think more people care about that than care about the other side of it. So anybody can answer any question however they want to. I mean, I've had coaches that have wanted to make it personal. I've had Ken Whisenhunt that wanted to make it personal. I've had John Hines pull out the piece of paper and start lecturing me or whatever on the question he knew he was going to be asked. I've had that. And again, that doesn't bother me either. Like, I'm not going to be bullied by anybody in town as to what questions to ask or what not to ask. But I still, like, when I saw the reaction to this, I think people are reacting to the wrong part, which is that he's telling us with the I know more than you know, he's telling us he thinks they would have taken Tanner Jeannot. And I just have to say, I disagree. Like, I disagree. Just like when they kept the group together at the trade deadline and I couldn't believe it. And I had to say, like, hey, I disagree. And now I still got it from the text line and people that would say, you know, when we're sitting there talking about making the playoffs and this is a big game for the playoffs and that's not. And people would say, Jared, you gave up on this team at the deadline. Right, because we're moving forward. But as I said, I disagree. And so when I asked David Poile the question and Poile said, I know more than you do, I did not interpret that as, well, I am the general manager and I know more than you know, Jared. Like, I didn't interpret it like that, though I think a lot of people want to interpret it like that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I told you I like went back and I was like, but I didn't think it was anything that was malicious or anything targeting you.
Well, I mean, I didn't feel that way either. I mean, and again, to your point that he wouldn't have probably said that to Adam Vingan if he had asked. He probably wouldn't have said it to Joe if he asked. He probably wouldn't have said it to Robbie Stanley if he had asked it. Well, I mean, that's the territory that comes with being the one who is outspoken. That is what comes with being the one who moves the needle. That comes with being the one who, though no disrespect to Robbie and Joe, because they, you look at how that morning show is doing, they are moving that needle. But, I mean, that's what comes with being the guy who is not worried about how people feel. I have never been worried about how a coach or a general manager here in town cares. You know, like, well, I don't like, you know, I don't want to upset this guy, so I'm not going to say that. Never really worried about that. And I think about it like this. I want the Predators to win. I want the Titans to win. I want them all to win. And it is good for our bottom line and our business if they do win. So I am supportive of that. But if you're going to coach my team or you're going to run my team, I'm going to get in your ass now. Like, I'm going to, if I don't understand something, I am going to ask why. And a lot of radio people around the country get the reputation. Radio guys in general have the reputation of, you get on the mic, you say whatever you want to say, and you don't face the music, you don't ask the questions, you don't. And I've never felt like that's fair. Never felt like that's fair to a coach, a general manager, a player. I just don't think that that's the right way to go about it. So, I mean, I hear what David Poile said about the decision to keep Jeannot over Yarncroke, but I vehemently disagree with it. And I'm never not going to disagree with it unless Tanner Jeannot comes out next year and lights it up. You know, if Tanner Jeannot becomes a solid contributor for the next 6 years, then David had a point. If Tanner Jeannot is what I think he is, which is a replacement level player that brought some good energy, but quite frankly, you know, next year he'll just be whatever and then he'll be gone in 2 years like everybody else.
But how do you know that? We've only seen 15 games from him.
How do I know that?
How do you know that he will continue to be a fourth line, what you say replacement is a replacement level player?
Because everything about his career up into those 15 games would point to him being a replacement level player. Even his performance in the playoffs would point to him as a replacement level player. Remind me of one thing he did during the playoffs this year against Carolina.
I don't know.
I can give you all kinds of things that Nick Cousins did. I can tell you everything. It's like Carrier. I like Carrier, but everybody's all about, you know, Carrier proved he is. Well, I mean, let's see. People forget Carrier turned the puck over that led to the game-winning goal in Game 5 at Carolina. Like, you're gonna be a top pair defenseman with Roman Josi. You're gonna have to take care of that puck now. Like, so those are I cannot do a show. There are plenty of them in Nashville, other radio stations especially. There are plenty of shows that will suck up to the teams around town. I can't do it. I will not do it. It can't. It's not who I am. Like, you and I talked about this, Caroline, before the show. Like, I'm a critical thinker. And I said to you, sometimes maybe being a critical thinker, you know, it. Sometimes I wish I wasn't so critical all the time of everything. But I also think that's what you need to hold your teams accountable. I mean, I think Jeff Fisher, no disrespect to anybody who was in the media at that point, but Jeff Fisher, I think, overstayed his welcome as coach of the Titans because people didn't challenge him enough. And so to me, that's not, I'm not going out of my way to point out things I disagree with. I wish they'd make every move that I would want them to make. But I understand that some moves I'm going to be wrong and some moves they're going to be wrong. And, you know, worry that maybe we're getting in the habit of too many moves they're wrong about, I'm right about. But I did not take that personally. And I guess, I don't know, Twitter tells me I should, but I don't take it personally.
I don't think you should. And I don't think that David Poyle has a malicious personality that would be coming out to attack you based off of a question. It's a pretty valid question. I don't think that you should take it personally.
Max?
I'm with you.
There we go. 615-737-1025. You agree with his response, though, about why he kept Jeannot over Yarncroke?
Well, I mean, he said he valued Jeannot's age. You know, that is one of his priorities, is keeping the team young. So if that's what you're looking at, then okay. I still don't agree with the decision to keep Jeannot over Yarncroke. But he said he values youth. And that's what he did.
Max?
I just don't think it should really have changed the decision, because either they wanted to keep Jeannot or they didn't. You know, even if he did know that's who they were going to take, either they wanted to keep him or they didn't.
So I think, see, that's the thing I think. Because if I'm Seattle and I really want somebody, aren't I going to tell you that I'm going to take the other guy?
Probably.
Okay. So if I'm Seattle and I really want Yarncroke, wouldn't I make it obvious to you that I'm not that interested in Yarncroke? Like, wouldn't I make it obvious that, oh my God, I got to have Carrier. I got to have Carrier or I got to have Jeannot. What do I got to do to have one of those guys? And deep down inside, I don't want either. Because I'm hoping you expose Fabro, or I'm hoping you expose Yarncroke, or I'm hoping you expose somebody else. And I wonder if I know because Seattle told me, and I'm like, do you think Seattle was being straight up with you?
And I didn't talk to Seattle, but from the get-go, before the Predators protected list came out, it was pretty obvious that they were either going to take Yarncroke or Sissons.
I mean, that's what common sense
or Trennan said. That was another third name that was thrown around there, but general consensus was they were going to take Yarncroke or Sissons.
I'm not saying that I think that they got hoodwinked on this, but I don't think Seattle's taking Tanner Jeannot. And to Max's point, even if they are, I don't care if they take him. But this is going to be one that is going to be, we're going to be following on David now. Because if Tanner Jeannot doesn't play a role next year, if he doesn't matter next year, if he's a fourth line replacement level player, and him and Olivier and Michael McCarron and all those other, you know, bottom of the roster Milwaukee guys, if they're shuffling around, then we are going to be pointing a finger at David for that. We should point a finger at David for that.
And I told you yesterday that I wasn't expecting, but I was hoping for David Poyle making a deal, that maybe he protected Tanner Jeannot for an ulterior motive, that there was a team that he was in talks with that wanted Jeannot and could maybe take one of the $8 million contracts off of the Predators' books. But he was asked about that today, and he said Seattle wasn't interested in making a deal.
Of course they weren't interested in making a deal. They don't want players you don't want. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction. 615-737-1025. Plus another question I asked David Poyle that I think we got to break down too from the press conference. And we'll get to your reaction as well. Live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. ESPN 1025, the game. So we're discussing the David Poyle press conference. And again, I asked about the question about why Jeannot over Yarncroke. By the way, is that a surprising question to ask?
I think if you're not asking that question, there's a problem.
Like,
I think that's
am I the only person on Sunday who thought, what the bleep? Like,
I think it's a valid question, no matter who they protected or left unprotected. Like, why did you choose these guys over these guys? Some guys, it's obvious. You have to protect Roman Josi. But I think no matter what, it's a valid question. What's your reasoning behind prioritizing these guys versus these guys?
So, there's another question I asked David Poile. And Max, I want you to play the whole thing. I'll stop you at some point, and then we'll pick it up from there. But there's another question I asked David Poile today that I, again, think is a question the fans want to know, right? Which is all of these long-term deals, 7 years for Arvidsson, 8 years for Ellis, 8 years for Johansson, 7 years for Duchesne, 7 years for Sissons, unprotected, though I didn't bring that up. I mean, we know the money. We know the deals. We know all. And I asked David Poile, you know, we don't know, per se, who's in charge of David Poile. I have a pretty good idea, but we don't know. And I said, okay, they're paying a lot of money to these guys, like a lot of money. And the return on investment is not good, as everybody knows. So how do the people above David Poile feel about this lack of return on investment? Fair question?
Fair.
All right, play the tape.
With all due respect, you guys have already punted on the long-term deal with Arvidsson and Ellis, and you exposed both Johansson and Duchesne. How do those that you report to feel perhaps about the lack of the return on investment with these big contracts?
What do you mean by that?
Stop.
Well, the fact that...
Do you think he didn't know what I meant by that?
He knows what you mean by that. He knows what you mean by that.
So, I mean, like, why not just answer the question with that? Why make, and I'm not, I mean, we'll play the rest of the question, but I mean, I'm not asking that question. Like, when you do, though, you know, what do you mean by that? I'm not going to do what, like, some younger people would do or some people that would, like, bring it down a notch and be like, well, you know, just wondering, you know, how the, what, no, like, you were, like, I asked you that question. These guys aren't playing well. You're paying these guys all this money, these long-term contracts. But, I mean, I think David Poile's smart enough to know exactly what I meant by that.
It's not a secret that Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne are not performing like $8 million players.
Sure.
That's not a secret. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. I think it's okay to say, hey, we didn't get what we wanted from these guys. I understand they have big contracts. These are our plans moving forward. This is why we feel optimistic, so on and so forth. I'm not going to tell David Poile how to do his job, but I think that most people understand that Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne are not performing to the level of their contracts.
Well, and let's add this to it. I asked about how do the people who you report to feel. Play the tape.
Well, the fact that you've signed guys to long-term deals and it hasn't worked out for one reason or another.
I'm not sure how to answer that. I mean, again, we've played pretty well in my mind for quite a while. And now we are having a little bit of, it's not a down period. In fact, we've made the playoffs. So when you make the playoffs, you have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, as I've
Stop
said.
So he says he doesn't know how to answer that. Now, again, hasn't brought up how the people above him feel, which is the meat of the question. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, you know, we've had a down period. Well, you know, no, it's not really a down period. I mean, we made the playoffs. You fired the coach. You won a division title. That wasn't good enough. You sold off one of the best players, PK Subban. You fired the coach. You lost to a mediocre Arizona team in the bubble. You then vowed for changes. Then you have now made some serious changes. You can't do all of that, which I agree with making big moves. But then you can't tell me that things are just rosy on the other side, right? You can't say, well, hey, we made the playoffs, so everything must be good. You just traded the associate captain of the team, which, again, I agree with. But, like, you can't you say you don't know how to answer the question, and then you tell me that everything's going great, you know, over here, when over there, it's to me, it's not adding up. Continue the tape, please.
to win the Stanley Cup. As I've said, that I now I'm in a position where I feel that we have to make some changes because we're the second oldest team in the league. And I just was a little concerned that if we don't make some changes, we're not going to get any better. I mean, specifically, I mean, we need our better players to play at a higher level. I mean, Arvey wasn't playing at the level that he was playing that we were used to. Can he get that back and go to LA? For him, I hope so. But it did not feel like it was going to happen here. The Ryan Ellis situation was probably more tied into the just we needed to make a little bit of a change. I did not, it's not specifically about Ryan Ellis, but I did not like our right side. Our right side this year, if we don't make the change, would be Carrier, Favreau, and Ellis, and Benning. And none of those guys were 6 feet tall. And if you've watched the playoffs in the last couple of years, I think we need to get a little bit more size on our blue line if we're going to compete well and win in the playoffs. And getting Philip Myers at 6'5", I think is a good chance that in time we could actually be better on defense in terms of our total makeup. And then I think where you're really going on this, Jared, is there's no secrets here. We need players like Ryan Johansson and Duchesne to be more productive for us. They have at times been terrific for us. Joey played really good in the playoffs. I mean, I have no problems with Joey or Dutchie. I need them. We need them to produce more. It's as simple as that. So to your point of, underperforming, I'm not going to speak for them, but again, when I have my meetings with them, it's always about asking for more. We need more for them. And if they can do that, our team could be pretty good.
You notice how he ignored the most important part of that question.
How the higher-ups feel?
Yep. I felt like we needed to do this. I felt like we needed to do that. I felt like, well, it's not the Nashville David Poyles. You know, it's not David Poyles Plumbing Company where David Poyle owns the plumbing company. It is a hockey team. And I consider myself a shareholder of that hockey team because I buy tickets and I go to the games. And I watch the games and I invest my time on the team. And, you know, to be completely honest with everybody, I host the afternoon drive time show on the flagship station of that team's radio network. So if you look at our results and you look at their results, there is a definite correlation at times. And he didn't answer the question. And I understand, you know, the coach talk, the GM talk, the stuff like that. But to me, I still need to know that. Like, I still need to know how the higher-ups feel. I mean, telling me that Ryan Ellis is too short, that you knew that when you signed him to an 8-year contract. He didn't get shorter. But I keep going back to, you know, how do they feel? Because it's not my money. I mean, I guess in an indirect way, when you're a ticket holder, it is somewhat, I guess, your money. But it's not my money. It's like when you buy, if you own Coca-Cola stock and you buy a Gatorade's Pepsi, you buy a Powerade, like you're not paying me because I own Coca-Cola stock. But so it's not my money that's going to give Matt Duchesne all this money for the lack of results. And I do think that the reason that I think that David was so slow to answer that question was because I think David wanted to think about how he was going to respond, knowing that if you say something about ownership, it now becomes the biggest story, period. You know, I don't think he woke up this morning and thought they were going to have a draft press conference, but they did have like the amateur scout director and the assistant general manager for scouting. They had them on the call and they did ask questions about, you know, how deep is this draft and how's it? And so, but it, and I'm not trying to. I understand that a lot of times people in those positions will feel like you're asking that question because you want to make this the story. You want to. I don't want to make this the story, but I kind of feel like it's the story, right? You sign guys, you say, we're signing Ryan Ellis. We want him to finish his career here. And he doesn't. And I get it. Business is business. We signed Matt Duchene. I forgot about this. Joe Retro wrote it in his column. We signed Matt Duchene. This is a great day for hockey and a great day for the Nashville Predators.
2 years later.
Right. So I do wonder, you know, how is that feeling? Because, again, I do. And I asked, what are the discussions like? I'm not saying, are you going to the ownership and them just, you know, sitting there and just reaming you out for making these trades? But how do they feel about their money being invested poorly? And I think that's a fair question for fans to want to know. So I think I just point out the fact that he sidestepped the question, and I understand why he did. But I do wonder, you know, I've asked him questions about ownership before that are unrelated to this, and he didn't have any problem answering them back then.
And he did address it at first when he said, "I don't know how I don't know how to answer that question." Later in his answer, he did address Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene not performing at the level that they'd like. So sure. He knew what you were asking.
Sure.
And he knows, he acknowledges that. And I think there was one part of that answer too that struck a chord with me was he mentioned, if we don't change, we can't get better. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. But 3 months ago, you thought that not changing was the best thing for the team. I still vehemently disagree with David Poile's decision to not trade at the trade deadline, because right now, the Predators are feeling the effects of it. Because now, you may lose Mikael Granlund for nothing. Now, You're stuck with a really unfortunate cap situation, and you just lost Cali Yarncroke in the expansion draft.
Yeah, you lost Cali Yarncroke for nothing, and you talked about having extra picks. And then go back to the getting younger and identity, and A couple weeks ago it was, if we didn't trade Arvidsson, then they would have taken him in the expansion draft, and we would have lost him for nothing. But if Seattle didn't want long-term contracts and Seattle didn't want to get older, they wanted to get younger. If they were considering taking Janot, they probably were never considering taking Arvidsson.
It's fair.
So that pokes more holes in that narrative. We'll get to your reaction on it next. I'm sure the text line's on fire. I see the calls as well.
615-737-1025.
We're to your reaction next, Stillman and company. And again, I want what's best for the team. Like, I want them to win. And maybe one day I will be, you know, maybe one day Jeff Bezos will master outer space travel and I'll be hosting a radio show on Mars. And I will still want the Nashville Predators to win. And I will still be a Nashville Predators fan. Speaking of the Predators, don't miss the first ever Smashville Summer Spectacular presented by Lee Company, featuring something for everyone in the family today through Sunday. Preds giveaways, ice-making seminars, a job fair, the Nashville locker room sidewalk sale, photos with the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, won by Pecorine, and the Norris Trophy, won by Roman Josi in 2020, and much more. It's a free event, and you can enter to win lower-level half-season tickets and attend any event in person to be eligible. Visit nationalpredators.com/spectacular for full event details. This is a weekend you do not want to miss. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, or streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Hi, David. Back to the expansion draft. In talking with the guys you didn't protect, do you believe there could be any long-term effect in terms of relationships? How do you expect them to react when you tell them you're not protecting them?
I think my conversations with everybody were actually very good. I think there's some understanding. That's from my standpoint. However, I'm not 100% sure of that. I would hope that everybody is professional. Everybody wants to do as good as they can do. I would hope, if anything, that spurs some guys on in terms of realizing that they weren't taken. I mean, I would like to take what you're saying as a negative into more of a positive, that why wasn't I taken by Seattle? You know, what could I do more for Nashville?
There you go. That was David Poile today. I mean, I hope he's right, but we'll see. We'll see how they feel about the guys that weren't protected, the Sissons, etc. Do you have a thought, or do you want to go to the Preds phones?
To the Preds phones.
Good, because I can't do 4 hours of talking about this and TD Power Hour coming up at 3 o'clock. Hank is going to kick us off. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hank, you're up next on David Poile. Go ahead.
I can't believe there's so little going on in that call and so little going on in sports, Jared, that you got to complain. I mean, let's take this out of sports and let's put this into business. David Poile is a pro. And if any of us had a situation where we weren't performing up to speed, performing up to where our bosses were expecting it to, and someone said publicly, hey, can you tell me what your boss is telling you and what they're saying? No smart employee is going to say those things publicly. If the boss is going to have something to say, they're going to let the boss say it. They're going to be the firewall. They're going to take responsibility for that. So I respect David Poile. I mean, what's the most he can do to answer their question when you say, what do the owners have to say? He's going to say, oh, they really aren't happy with where we are, but they're good owners. They're ready to make the investments that we need
to make.
So, Hank,
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I understand. Yeah. I sense, like, the anger in your voice, and I appreciate your call. I don't disagree with what you're saying. You know, that it's
a fair point.
I mean, what is David Poile supposed to say in that situation? Mm-hmm. This is my rule. And I have argued with coaches about this because I've talked to coaches off the record before. And, you know, coach has been asked about, you know, coach, what do you think about, you know, the reports that you're going to get fired? You know, that's a tough spot to be in. But it's not up to me to decide how you answer that question. That's not. I mean, I don't go into a press conference and ask a question looking for a particular answer in return. I'm not writing a narrative. I'm asking you a question, and I want to know what you have to say about it. Because the only thing I can go off of is what you say. So I'm asking you. He brings up a fair point. What is Poile supposed to say? I know this. When there were rumors that Mike Mularkey was going to get fired if the Titans lost to Kansas City in the wild card playoff, Mike Mularkey got asked about it, and Mike Mularkey said that he didn't feel like he had any support. I mean, I wouldn't expect in business for Mike Mularkey, who is essentially, you know, this not the president or the CEO, but one of the more important people of a billion-dollar business, I wouldn't expect him to throw people under the bus, but that's in fact what he did. And so, I can't answer your question, or I can't answer what I'm asking you for you, and I'm not doing that. I'm not asking a question to get a certain response out to then form a narrative with it. I'm not doing that. So he can answer it however he wants to answer it. That's how he chose to answer it. What we got in the text line?
One texter texts into the text line and says, he fills the barn. He makes the playoffs. He has kept a small market team competitive during most of his tenure. Imagine the owners think he's doing a pretty good job regardless to what the afternoon DJ has against him.
First of all, I'm a talk show host. I'm not a DJ. DJs play music. I don't. Secondly, is making the playoffs that big of a deal? Like, in all seriousness, and I ask it because the two sports where literally half the league gets in are hockey and basketball. Baseball, you got to earn it. Football, you got to earn it. But in hockey and basketball, half the teams make the league, make the playoffs. Mike Budenholzer is fired if Kevin Durant's foot is, what, 3 inches back on that game-tying three in Game 7? Budenholzer is fired. Instead, he wins the NBA championship. It's a very fine line, literally. But are we to sit here and say that the playoffs are all that matter, and as long as you keep making the playoffs, no matter what happens, we're okay with it? Because that's not how I feel. I mean, everybody makes the playoffs in the NHL. You have to really suck to not make the playoffs in the NHL.
And yes, making the playoffs almost every year is a wonderful accomplishment, and it is very exciting, and it sells tickets, and it gets the fan base involved. I hear you. But at a certain point, you have to ask for more. At a certain point, getting knocked in the first round of the playoffs just isn't good enough anymore. The city of Nashville, Predators fans deserve more than that. And if you're investing millions of dollars into these players, $8 million into two players, you have to expect more from them. You have to expect the team to want to get further than just making the first round of the playoffs. Because, I mean, we've said it before, almost the best thing that could happen right now to the Predators is being really bad.
Yeah, I hate that.
I understand how twisted that sounds.
I said this when they made their run last year. Please don't make me regret this run. please don't make me regret the fun that we had in March, April, and May. Please don't make me regret that. And at times I feel like I'm regretting it. We'll get back to your reaction next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 the game. Stillman and Company reacting to David Poyle's press conference today, the pre-NHL draft press conference. I do promise phones. We'll be right to them in a second. I was thinking about something. I don't know if I brought this up on the show yesterday or not. I thought about this when I was on a swim.
Oh, nice.
And I thought about this. I think my biggest issue with the Predators, the hockey management, is that so many things they do I don't agree with, right? Like the not selling at the trade deadline, the playing Harper and Goodbranson and, you know, not playing Tolvanen and Fabreau and all that kind of stuff. Had they sold at the trade deadline, do you think that we would look at it and say they didn't make the playoffs last year, they're selling low on these guys, they lost Callie Yarncroke, they all got to go? Or do you think we'd say, hey, you know, they have really, they stockpiled picks, they're going into this draft, they've got people they can go out and get, they've got, how do you think we would feel had they made the choice to sell at the deadline?
I think it would be a little bit of both. I think that we would have a little bit of a resentment. Like, you didn't even make the playoffs and you're making these moves. But I have to have a little bit of faith in us to think that we would look at it like, yes, you and I would look at it like, but they did get those picks and they did take a risk with trading at the trade deadline. So we would look ahead to, okay, they didn't make the playoffs this past year, but they have a bunch of picks. What are they going to do with them? What's going to happen if those picks don't work out? What are we looking for the picks? So I want to give us the BOD and that, yeah, we would rip on them for sure. But at least looking ahead, being critical, but also being a little bit optimistic.
I think I'd be totally fine with it. I think I'd be like, you know what? David's done this before. They didn't make the playoffs in 2014, and they retooled it with Laviolette in 2015, and they were ready to roll. And I think I would have felt similar to that. I mean, I think that was kind of one of the moments where I was just kind of, you know, that's, to me, I just don't agree. I just don't agree, and the not agreeing has continued. David is up next here on Yarncroke. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, David.
How you doing, Jared? Jared, we went through the same thing with the last draft with Yarncroft and O'Neill, and it worked out basically for the Predators. I like Yarncroft, and he's one of my favorite players that I like. But the reality is that one of these players was going to go. Janot has some upside to him. He's a younger player, and there's a good chance that he'll work out. But, you know, if it had been Carrier, if it had been one of the other players, we'd be doing the same thing we're doing right now. We'd be sitting there, well, why did we lose him? Everybody wanted Duchesne to go, and it's not going to happen. So hopefully these players are going to pick up, and this will work out.
Sure. David, thank you for your call. I would say this, okay, because somebody's brought this. There's a couple of things in that. First of all, this idea about, you know, David keeps saying, we need Duchesne, we need Johansson to play better. Yes, you do, because you're stuck with them and they have more job security than you. Because they can fire you and go get another general manager and it won't cost them $50 million or whatever's left. They can't fire those guys. So you need them to work out. They have more job stability than you. John Hines loves playing, you know, coach badass and benching everybody and putting Duchesne on the third line and things like that. But I will tell you, it is not close in terms of job security between the two guys. One guy's contract runs out next year, and it ain't for $8 million, and it ain't Matt Duchesne. And so they got to get those guys working. I agree. The second thing is there is no comparison, in my opinion, between Yarncroke and Neal and Yarncroke and Janot. Yarncroke and Neal was, would you rather have the higher upside scorer who is signed for one more year and then going to demand a big payday, or a solid two-way contributor that for 3 years leading up to it had played 74 games, 81 games, 81 games. Cale Yarncroke had three full seasons of NHL experience under his belt. He had 16 goals in 2015-2016, 15 goals the next year. He was at one point when the Predators turned things around in that 15-16 year on the first line. Let that sink in. He was on the first line. Tanner Jeannot's played 15 games, all on the fourth line, and he's done nothing in the playoffs in his career. They are not comparable players. They're not. I mean, and I could be totally wrong, and Jeannot could have a 10-year career like Yarncroke too, but to me, they're not comparable players, so the two situations are not comparable. Yarncroke is not looking at a break-the-bank payday like Neil got from, I think it was Edmonton or Calgary, that Neil got after that year in Vegas. Like, he's not going to get that. He's going to sign, like, a four-year deal at 1.8 per. Like, that's what he's going to be after this. He's going to be a solid player for another couple of years. And so even if you want to say that Jeannot, you would take over Yarncroke, you can't compare Jeannot and Yarncroke to Yarncroke and Neil from 4 years ago. It's not the same.
But my question for you, and I'm going into this question totally understanding that the Predators got nothing in return for Cale Yarncroke, but you're always harping on the Predators for waiting too late to get rid of players.
Sure.
For waiting, buying high, selling low. Sure. Get out while they're high. Doesn't it kind of feel like that's what they did with Cale Yarncroke? And I understand they got no return for it. I understand that.
I think the fact that they didn't get a return makes that impossible to compare. Like, if had they sold, remember at the deadline when I said, hey, I'd throw Yarncroke in there too.
Yeah.
And I like Yarncroke.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on a heater.
He was on a heater, and you didn't get picks for him.
Right. You know, I mean, I heard David today say that he felt, loves the fact that they have the extra second round pick and the extra fourth round pick. I'm thinking to myself, David, what if you had two extra seconds and three fourths and a fifth? And like, how would you feel? Like, now, the one thing I won't rule out in being fair is that we don't know if there was an edict from ownership to David to keep that team together, to make the playoffs, to make money in the playoffs. But I feel like I know enough, and I feel like I am connected enough to where, had that been the case, I would have been told so. And
if
I haven't.
That was the case, I don't blame them. I get it. It was a tough year last year. You got to make money. I don't blame them. It would
sure.
make sense.
But I haven't heard that.
Fair.
And I feel like I would have heard that had that been the case. Text in the text line. We'll squeeze one in here before TD.
One texter texting the text line, Gator Tim texts in, says the playoff run last year was based on false hope. The Preds beat the four worst teams in the league repeatedly. John Hines is a below average coach. Next year, when we are back in the tough Central, we will not make the playoffs with this roster.
Binary question. Hines is in the last year of his deal. Does he make it past next year?
No.
Okay. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD, getting you ready for training camp. We got what he's looking for. Teron Davenport, Titans training camp opens in less than a week. Plus the NFL with some strict new rules. We'll get TD's reaction to that. The TD Power Hour is next. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.